tell us about how you first got involved with the Botanical Gardens in Sydney. I understand you're the education coordinator for Aboriginal programs at the Gardens.
I was there at the Gardens for on secondment for a couple of years, and I've left there now.
Ah!
So I've actually left there now, so I'm not working. I haven't been working there for about 12 months now. But I really loved the Botanic Gardens, and it was like a playground for me with food from all over Australia. And it was just so awesome. And I guess because I've always known about all different foods, but I've never had time, I guess, unless I went home or went visiting, I guess, around the state and stuff to sample things. So being able to have that experience at the Botanic Gardens where food is just everywhere was just like a whole new world lit up for me, and it just allowed for me to have that time to experience plants, you know, and have been able to make jams or to make spices and, you know, test medicinal things. I just loved it. I was like a kid in a candy shop.
I was about to say, it's like a very literal kid in a candy shop situation.
Yeah, very much so it was.
You're obviously very passionate about sharing kind of Indigenous knowledge about bush tucker with people, and really being able to share this ancestral knowledge. How does bush tucker relate to cultural identity for Indigenous Australians?
Well, I guess all around Australia, we all come from country. You'll probably hear that Aboriginal perspective speaking of country, and it's about community and land where you come from. And on country is everything about the animals, the type of environment you live in, the types of plants, the type of lifestyle that you live in those places. You know, there's aquatic life, there's land life, there's all different types of animals and plants that you use for either eating, ceremonial use, medicinal purposes, for survival, for making tools and weapons. And so when you have access to using those types of plants, well, then that makes up your cultural knowledge. It makes up part of your customs and traditions as for Aboriginal people. And that's our cultural knowledge, what we have of country.
Absolutely.
It's very much part of our identity or who we are as Aboriginal people.
Absolutely. How are we seeing more Australian chefs, I guess, these days as our country starts to not recognise but more actively engage with Indigenous culture, and as we see a more kind of a willingness to engage? Do you think we're seeing more Australian chefs incorporating things like traditional Indigenous bush tucker into menus? Are we seeing people more willing to kind of explore?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as a home cooks or home gatherers and experimenting, I think even a lot of chefs. I did a talk a couple of years ago for the Bush Food of Politics with Time Out, and Peter Gilmore came along. He's got a restaurant down at the Quay, and there's a real growing interest, and people want to know how to use things, and I think also know what is around in their local areas.
Yeah.
So very much now it's, you know, people always ask me, how do I get to know the bush food? And I always say to them, understand where you are, what country you're on. And when I say that, I'm talking about the environment and the traditional owners from that place, because all around Australia, you're going to have different foods and plants and animals and environments. So if we think of our environments in Australia, our arid deserts, our rainforests, our coastal areas, so all
so
those
varied
species are varied depending where you are. And so that cultural knowledge, what Aboriginal people have of their country through changes of seasons and how to use it for survival or for medicine or for nutritional value, it changes everywhere. It's all different all over the place. And so those types of things, I think chefs, I know the interest, I guess, for understanding and identifying first. So I know a lot of people have said, oh, I've got that tree in my yard, I didn't know I could eat it. So it comes down to then us recognising as Australians our own food, our own fruit and vegetables from our own country. Because, you know, I can say to you, tell me your favourite fruit and vegetable, and you can probably write a whole list, and I could ask you then, tell me your favourite Australian fruit and vegetable. And not people, you know, they may know lemon myrtle, they may know finger limes, but they don't know nothing else. So it comes down to that, then, all of that knowledge that has been passed down, and there's so much. There's so much food, so much different ways to use it that Aboriginal people, that we still use, you know. I know when we go home, we go and get food because a lot of our food isn't commercialised as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so you can't just go and buy it in the shop.
No.
You can't buy it at Woolies or anything, but there are some foods that are out there, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's about, as you said, first off, being able to identify and engage with. What would, how would you suggest people go about kind of attaining that knowledge? Where's a good starting point?
I think first off is to, you know, engage with your Aboriginal communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is, you know, understanding also our Aboriginal, you know, our aspirations as Aboriginal people too. And it's also about respecting our cultural knowledge.
Absolutely.
And one thing, of course, is, you know, because of the Australian history, you know, we were dispossessed of land and dispossessed of country. So when we were placed on missions and different things around Australia, there was we couldn't have that access, and we lost language. We lost a lot of those different traditions that we lived for, you know, thousands of years. And so, but it's still maintained. It's still maintained. It's still passed through. And so having access, because, you know, the introduction then of having, being on missions or reserves, of having flour and sugar and all these things, you know, like we still have high levels of heart disease and diabetes in our communities, and, you know, liver and kidney failures and all this kind of stuff from this introduction, because there's not that access to having those foods.
Mm.
And so first foremost always is to provide access for the community, you know, if where we can. And I know the community, they'll go and get it, you know, they know where the trees are, they know where the plants are, all the animals are and things like that. And they know traditionally their customs and traditions on how to go and get those things. Mm. those things definitely adapted, you know, over time, and we might be using fishing lines now, but where we can, we're doing that cultural renewal and being part of that, of making the traditional nets, doing that traditional fishing in that way, or using fish traps. Where I come from, out at Brewarrina, we have one of the oldest World Heritage sites out there, the fish traps out there. And so it's understanding how the country works. And I think what I'm raising awareness about is that cultural knowledge, even though we don't own that plant, but us identifying first the plant, and then what the use is, and then how to use it, and the preparation on the methodology on how to prepare it and things like that, that is cultural knowledge that is being used.
Absolutely.
And that's the stuff that I want people to recognise and understand, that you know, it's not just about, come and show me this plant and I'll go and make $1 million out of this plant now and go and, you know, use this for, you know, preventing cancer or curing cancer and all this kind of stuff. So it is about understanding all of those ethical things, and there's got to be ethics and there's got to be guidelines on how to engage with community, respect cultural protocol, and also ensure that, you know, that community, you're giving back to the community. We can't, you know, Aboriginal people have been in this country being exploited for so long.
Mm.
We can't just keep taking, and we have to have something where we give back to community, because that is so much part of our identity and our connection to country.
Mm.
I think even, you know, even today, you know, like, I'm quite happy to share and show people different foods and stuff, but I would hate for somebody to come in and you know, oh, we got a farm now, but does Aboriginal people work there? Do you employ them? What are you doing then to protect, you know, or to support that community? Because those foods are really much, and those plants or the environment that you're in, is very much part of Aboriginal people and their custom and their tradition of their identity. It's a very
Absolutely.
Important aspect, and that's what people have to understand. And I would hate for, that's why I guess now, and I know we're still in early stages in the culinary world and things like that, but I would like for us then, for all different restaurants or chefs then, to understand then that they have to engage and give back to community in some way, some arrangement that they make, you know, with themselves, or if there's something they can do then to have access, because it is about, you know, we just can't keep taking.
Absolutely.
I guess that's what it is, yeah.
Access perpetuates knowledge, and knowledge perpetuates preservation, and all those things. I think, too, no matter where you go in the world, no matter what culture or country you're looking at, food is such a central linchpin of humanity, in my opinion.
It certainly is.
It's just this beautiful thing that brings people together from all around, and really does perpetuate so much knowledge that goes back centuries and centuries and generations and generations.
Absolutely.
So I think,
and that's right.
Yeah.
And Aboriginal people all around the world, you know, they don't need Western validation of science oh, you're right, it does work, or you're right, it does do this.
Yeah.
They've known all along.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly, for centuries and centuries. It always baffles me when people are like, oh, look at this fantastic traditional medicine from anywhere in the world, and you kind of shake your head and go, yes, it's been a medicine for generations and generations.
That's right, that's exactly right. We're almost saying, you know, as Aboriginal people, yeah, we've known that for ages. Yeah.
Welcome, come.
Welcome, it's about time we caught up. Yeah.
Oh, Jodie, it's been an absolute delight chatting with you this morning. Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, but thanks for joining us.
No worries, Jess. Thanks very much for having me.